It's a great blessing to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I was here 5 years ago as the associate pastor with Father Duffner, 2017 through 2019. Father Kyle Kowalczyk, I'm the pastor at St. Maximilian Kolbe out in Delano, Minnesota. So Father called me a couple months ago and said, hey, come and do our adoration boost. And I said, great, I'll have Father Hedman come and do my adoration boost. So this is adoration boost weekend. It's a real privilege to be here for that. And as we do that, I mean, some of you are like, oh, yeah, you know, I already have an adoration hour. And some of you are like, yeah, you know, you've said this every single year, and I'm never going to sign up for adoration. And let's just pause that thought for a minute, because I want to start with the gospel, because I think we all have something to learn from this fella. So what do we know about this man? We know that he's young, he's rich, and he's a ruler. So he's got everything that everybody wants. He's got youth, he's got power, and he's got wealth. And there's one more thing we know about him. He's not happy. How do we know that? Well, it said that he went away sad. Well, why did he go away sad? Because he came sad. He came to the Lord sad. The question that he's asking, how do I get eternal life? Well, what he's really asking is, how do I attain happiness? How can I be happy? And Jesus gives him a list of things. You're doing these things? He says, yeah, I'm doing those. You know, we could say those same things. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to church, and I'm trying to do the right thing, and this and that. And he says, what am I still missing? I'm still not happy. And then we jump and hear the Lord say, well, you got to sell everything and follow me. Well, that's what he had to say to this fella. That's what this fella had to do. But we might have missed something that happened in between. You might have missed it because this man missed it as well. It said that the Lord looked at him and loved him. And he missed it. And the tragedy of that is that's the only way to be happy, is to allow the Lord to love you. And if there's anybody in this room right now who has too much happiness and has allowed the Lord to love them too much, you don't have to listen to this homily anymore. But for the rest of you, I just want to invite you to take a deeper step. Because those of us who are here, we're implicitly asking that question. Lord, what do I have to do to be happy? And if you leave Mass every Sunday, the exact same disposition with which you came, the same anxieties, the same sadness, the same discouragement, the same anger, the same frustration, the same boredness with which you came, then you missed what the Lord was saying to you. And I don't want you to miss what the Lord is saying to you today, because I want you to be happy. And the Lord is inviting you to meet him in the Adoration Chapel every week so that he can love you, so that you can be happy. Now, immediately when I say that, something happens in your heart or your mind. You say, yeah, I can't do that though, because, and then you start listing the things in your mind. These are all the reasons why I can't take an adoration hour. I can't take an adoration hour because I'm really busy. I can't take an adoration hour because I would have to sacrifice sleep. I can't take an adoration hour because I would have to miss an hour of work. Do you know how much money I can make in an hour of work, Father? I can't take an adoration hour because of the kids, and I'd have to get a babysitter, or I'd have to do this, or I'd have to do that. And we think of all the things, all the reasons, all the excuses of why this doesn't apply to us. Just like this rich young man thought of all the excuses. Well, yeah, but if I sell everything, I'd lose all my money. I'd lose all my friends. What would people think? Is that really going to make me happy? But the only way for this rich young ruler to know if this is going to work, and the only way for you to know if this is really going to work, is to actually sign up. It's actually to follow him. It's actually to put yourself in place where the Lord can love you. Now, you're probably thinking, well, yeah, but the Lord loves me no matter where I am, right? Well, this is true. This is true. He does. He loves you no matter what. And he loved this man no matter what. He's still loving him as he's walking away, miserable. And he'll love you wherever you are and whatever state of mind you're experiencing. He'll love you there. But the place, the privileged place, the place par excellence where he wants to love you is in that chapel. Now, some of you don't even know where the Adoration Chapel is. I won't ask for a show of hands. But you've walked past it every single time you've come into church. You walk right past it. And if you've never been in it, that's a tragedy. Because it's a beautiful Adoration Chapel. It's actually the second most beautiful Adoration Chapel in the whole Archdiocese. My Adoration Chapel is more beautiful. My Adoration Chapel is a 120-year-old church that we converted into our Adoration Chapel with a 25-foot high altar and candles and statues. But this is a beautiful, beautiful Adoration Chapel. And it's open 24/7. And so any of you can go anytime you want and allow the Lord to love you there, anytime. But the way that an Adoration Chapel works, the way that it can stay open 24/7, is that there's always at least two people who are there every single hour. Every single hour, there's two people in that Adoration Chapel so that anybody else can come in whenever they want. Now, the other thing you should know about an Adoration Chapel, that it's not just a place where you go to do your personal prayer time. Yes, the Lord wants to love you there, absolutely. But what it really is, it's the spiritual engine room of the whole parish. Everything in a parish works because of what happens in there. It's like the prayers of the people, your presence there is the fuel of everything that happens here. Everything that's going well is because of those people, you who are signed up, registered at doors, it's because of your prayers. You are the fuel that powers this parish. So that means if there's anything in the parish that you're less than satisfied about, you have no right to complain about it if you're not in that Adoration Chapel. If you don't think the school is as effective as it should be, if you don't think the confirmation program is converting as many teens as it should be, if you don't think the homilies are as good as they should be, you can't complain about it because you haven't done anything about it. You haven't been in the Adoration Chapel to fuel everything that happens here. And so we need the Adoration Chapel. This should give you a little clue, like, why do I care if your Adoration Chapel is full? How does that affect me? Oh, well, it does. Because if the Church of the Epiphany is banging on all cylinders, it becomes healthy, powerful, well, it's putting power back onto the grid. And that affects me out in Delano. Affects all the neighboring parishes. It affects the whole archdiocese. It's good for the church. And so I do care. And I care about your happiness. I care about the Lord loving you because I care about the Lord, and it makes him sad when people walk away from him. And so I want you to sign up for an Adoration Hour. And I don't want you to be afraid of it. I don't want you to think of all the things that you're giving up because, yes, it is a sacrifice. And that's what makes those prayers powerful. That's why the prayers prayed in that Adoration Chapel are more powerful than the prayers you pray anywhere else. And right now, I'm going to invite the ushers to come down. They're going to hand out these cards. And I want everybody to take a card. If you're not an adorer already, I want you to take one of these cards. Or maybe you are an adorer and you're like, you know what? I think I need to take another hour, or I'm going to move my hour to one of the late night hours. You can take a card too. And there's pencils in the ends of the pew, and I want you to pass those pencils down. So if you're on the end, just go ahead and pass those pencils down. And on this card, it asks for a couple pieces of information. Your name, email address, phone number. And then there's four boxes you can check. Somebody from our Adoration team is going to call you the next week or two. And they're just gonna ask, what hour is gonna work for you? What hour is gonna work for you? You're not signing away, you know, and if you realize later, like, oh yeah, you know what, that's not gonna work, well, you can change it. We have a whole list of people who sub for these. You're not gonna be in a bind, you can still go on vacation, you still go to the dentist's office. So I want you to take one of these. If you're not even gonna put one in your hand, if you're not even gonna hold it in your hand, what are you saying to Jesus, to his invitation? You'll never know the blessings that the Lord wants to provide in that adoration chapel. I had a young fellow recently who was just coming back to the church, and he started coming to Mass on Tuesday evenings. And our church, our Mass is in our adoration chapel. And one day I wasn't there, I was sick, and we didn't have a coverage for the Mass. So he goes his normal time, and he sits there, and he just keeps sitting there. And the next day he finds me, he says, "Father, you weren't at Mass, and I just sat there for an hour and a half. And it was amazing. What is that?" I said, "Oh, that's adoration." He said, "How can any Catholic survive without adoration?" I said, "I do not know the answer to that question." And so I want you to experience that. I want you to fill this out. The Lord right now is nudging you. And he's giving you the answer to the question, what do I have to do to become happy? It's right here. It's right here on this card. Don't be afraid. I see people filling it out. That's good. I'm going to tell you a quick story, personal story, as you're continue to fill that out. And then you can throw that in the basket when the ushers come to take up the collection. So we've had adoration in my parish for a number of years. We've expanded it over the years. I'm always preaching like this every year too, to tell my people, I want you to be in the adoration chapel. And then the Lord told me one day, he said, "Well, Kyle, you don't have an adoration hour." And I said, "Yeah, but Lord, I take a holy hour every single day. I have a chapel in my rectory. I don't need to have a holy hour in the chapel." And he said, "Yeah, but you're telling people that there's something important about being in the chapel. Those prayers are better. That's a better place for me to love them." And I said, "That's a good point." And so I called up my adoration coordinator. I said, "Barb, who is the most committed adorer in the parish who never ever misses her hour of adoration, who's always there, and an hour that's in the middle of the day?" And she said, "Well, that's Kathleen." I said, "Great, I'll take that hour. I'll be her partner, so I never have to worry about her not being there." And so I signed up, and 1 p.m. on Thursdays, started taking that hour with her. It was great. It was beautiful. I was usually able to be there. It's really close to the parish, right next to the offices, which means I was always late because it was so close. But she was always there, so it was okay. If I had an appointment in the cities or something else came up, I always just texted her, "Hey, you're going to be there?" She said, "Yep." I said, "Great." Occasionally, she had to miss for something. I was there. It's great. We never had to worry about finding a sub. And then just recently, I felt like the Lord was telling me in my adoration hour, he said, "Hey, you've been telling all the men in your parish to take these late night hours." Which, by the way, men, if you don't take the late night hours, then some old lady is going to take them. Yeah, no joke. You know, they'll look at the open list in the bulletin, and they'll say, "Well, nobody's on the 1 a.m. or the 2 a.m. on Thursday morning. I guess I'll do both of them." And they'll drive here in the middle of the night, in the middle of the snow, and they'll sit in the adoration chapel for 2 hours if they need to, because we've dropped the ball. We haven't done it. And they know how important that place is and how important those prayers are, especially in the middle of the night. So they'll do it. So I'm thinking this to myself. The Lord is kind of convicting me. I say, "All right." So I look at the bulletin. There's a Wednesday 1 a.m. hour open. And so I call my adoration coordinator, and I switch my hour. And I was fully intending on adoration weekend to use my authority as the pastor to say, "All right, we're not going to end Mass until one fella signs up for that hour to be my partner, because I'm not doing this alone." Only the thing is, it's too good. Like being there in the middle of the night with Jesus, just me and him, it's so good. It's so good. I'm like, I don't want to share that hour. I'm keeping that all to myself. It's so good. And so even though I have a holy hour every single day, I spend time with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament, there's something about that hour in the middle of the night in my adoration chapel in Delano, Minnesota, that's powerful. It's powerful. So, my brothers and sisters, the Lord is inviting you to receive his love. And some of you aren't responding. And I know that. I can tell. I'm not an idiot. And you're going to walk away just like this rich young ruler. And just like this rich young ruler, you're going to leave today the same way that you came. Sad, discouraged, bored. And you'll never know you're walking away. You'll never know what you're walking away from. But I have this hope. This rich young man, it says he walked away sad. But the word there, I looked it up. Every other place that Greek word is used in the New Testament, it's not just sad. It's like grieved. It's like distressed. When Jesus went to the garden before his passion, it said he was, same word, sad. But it's translated, he was deeply distressed. Why was he deeply distressed? Because he knew the sacrifice. He knew what was coming. And my hope for the rich young man is that he walks away deeply distressed, not because he's never coming back, but because he knows the sacrifice that he's going to make. And I hope that as you walk away, that you'll know that you're walking away from something so good and something that only can be filled if you come back. And you'll always be able to come back. You'll always be able to look in the bulletin, call the adoration coordinator and say, you know what? I do want to give it a try. Give me an hour that somebody else is already on and that I can just slowly step into this. Because I want to help the parish. And I want to respond to Jesus' call because I want to be happy.